we got a process going on. It's the traditional thing. And Wednesday night, so John and Pesha, little pause here. Next Sunday is their last Sunday. And that kind of, here I thought I had all this time to kind of line up all the dominoes, and then I was going to hit that first domino, and one would go to the next. Well, we kind of jumped into the middle of that whole thing, and a bunch of things have changed in response to the fact that we rely on our leadership and our staff in a lot of ways. So here's what I'm asking us to do. Memorial Day, if you can be here, I'd like you to come. We're going to have them at the front at the end. We're going to give them a hug around the neck and pray over them and send them out to the future that God has for them. But I'm going to invite you to let's do a card shower for them. And so we'll have a basket up here, and as you give them a hug, we'll just drop that in the basket. If you find a kind word to share with them or write down a personal word of what they've meant to you while they're here, that's great. If you want to throw a little love gift in that, that's great too. If you're not able to be here next Sunday, we've already hit folks on vacations and graduations and all this stuff. We will take it in the church office, and we will make sure they get it. That's the beauty of the card shower, is just we're dealing with all the crazy. We're going to make it work. We're going to push right on through it. But that brought up a whole lot of questions about Wednesday evening, and so we took a quick little survey. This is not the sermon, but this is just some immediate feedback that says, hey, I learned a few things, and that was the whole point of the exercise. So if we go to the next slide, we found out by asking the folks who are here and faithfully working on Wednesday nights that the big stick in the bundle is the classes that we teach. It is our RAs, our GAs, and those other things. And that's pretty large group. And I made you pick one. I said, I know it's all important. If one piece of that fell out, the whole thing comes down. But what's the big dog in the pack? And it's our teaching time, where we invest the Word of God in the lives of the children. If you go to the next slide, this was kind of interesting. If we had to make a change, I said, here are some options what we could do with Wednesday night. And the percentages went 40%, 30%, 20%, 10%. 4, 3, 2, and 1. But if you take the top two and you combine the two together, 3 out of 4 of the folks who are involved in that say, well, I'm not sure exactly what I need to do yet, but I think we're nearing a time we're going to have to make some modifications for this to continue to be effective. And that was the point of that. Now, if we go to the next slide, I'm going to show you a specialized chart that kind of prioritizes what we're doing. This is called a Pareto chart. And I said, so why would we want to change it? We kind of sense we need to change it. Why would we do that? And again, I threw a bunch of things on the wall and hoped something would stick. And so we ranked those in order. And you see a bar graph with the numbers going high to low, left to right. And then you see from the bottom left corner an arch. And what we did is we just compared the results in two different ways. And where they meet, that is the sweet spot of our answers. So anything from that line to the left are the big reasons why we agreed, or what we said in the survey, what you said in the survey, is reasons we might change. One is we need more workers. That's the big one on the left. The next was we're having some worker burnout. When you come and you work, it isn't just a free supper. It's a lot that goes on. The third one is, we really do wish we saw more results in all the efforts we're putting into this. And then finally, we said, you know, in all honesty, sometimes it feels like I've got to come, and it's a little more obligation and a duty than it is a lot of joy. There's a lot of work. A lot of folks work all day, and then they show up, and they're running a van route, or they're cooking in the kitchen. And so we were honest with ourselves, and we said, if we were going to change, we're realizing we're running out of staff to make it work. Okay? Next slide talks about, well, if we did that, what might we see? And we said, we really think, talk about positive. I love you guys. It wasn't like, no, the world isn't going to fall apart. We think we're going to find new and better ways to do the good things we're doing. And I appreciated that. We said sometimes we think that if we're effective on our Wednesday activities, that it makes our Sunday things all the better. And man, that is a wonderful thing. We do great on Wednesday and it builds Sunday. We do good on Sunday and it builds Wednesday. That's called left foot and right foot, and that's how we walk, folks. That's okay. We talked about maybe we'd find more helpers and activities for Wednesday night. So again, you look at that sweet spot where the line and the bar match, and to the left of that are the big takeaways. Next slide. We would expect, there it is. We just said, you know what? No matter what we decide to do about Wednesday night, what you said is, I'm loyal to First Baptist Church Marionville, and I'm committed to being a helper. I like, wow, incredible. You also said, let me get to my notes here. And I forgot what the rest of the question was. We said it was our main outreach. And we're comfortable with that, being in the community, that it's our main outreach. And we said we really believe, and I'm not sure if that comes from previous experience or what, because I admit I am the new guy here learning this. But we said, we think we can make modifications to what we're doing. We can make a good thing better, and we think it's going to have a good impact in our larger community. So one last slide there that tells you kind of the pictures, who took the survey. We had a strong response, and it just parallels and dovetails with that first bar chart I showed you about what we really, really think. So I had a few takeaways on the next slide. You told me that you all not only love the Lord, you love your church, you love your community in a big way, and you really love those children that come. And they're loud, and they're full of energy. They wear me out, and I'm just watching, okay? I admit it. It's like, man, that is incredible. And then, I am going to vote we quit feeding them sugar. I think we're going to have to maybe, no offense to anybody, but it's like, they don't need the help. I need the help. I need the vitamins, okay? But no, you told me how you love them. We said that the teaching time is certainly the core of what we are about. And whatever else may modify around that, that is truly the spinal cord on which the rest of the body would be built. You're confident that we can make adjustments and improvements without impacting negatively our community. But the reality of where we're at right now is we're short of workers, and the workers we got are tired. And it's time maybe to take a knee. That's Army talk for when we don't know what to do and we're tuckered out, we take a knee and drink water. We get down on one. You can't lay down because if you're wearing your rucksack, you can't get back up, okay? But it's okay to take a knee, and it's okay to rehydrate. Because as we take that energy in, it then allows us to continue the mission and go forward. So as the transitional guy, I just have one final slide here about a few questions that I have. I wonder what our children think. I want to know a little more why they come. Is it just the fun? Is it just the food? Who are we trying to reach? What does our customer say about us? What do the kids say out in the community? And I don't know that yet. I asked myself the question, so how does what we're doing on Wednesday evening fit into the overall strategy of the mission of our church? It does, but is it possible that we've gotten so busy, we've maybe let that connection and that tie, you know, in the busyness of doing it all, maybe that's gotten just a little fuzzy for us? I asked the question, okay, we need volunteers, so where are we going to get those? If you're thinking the transitional pastor is going to go out to the back 40 out here and shake the volunteer tree and five or six more folks are just going to fall out of the tree to make this rescue? Which leads me to the other question is, what type of pipeline, what type of training, what are we doing not to wear out the folks we got? What are we doing to grow new volunteers? Because we can run ourselves totally into the ground, but if we're not bringing on another generation of those who are going to take our place and serve alongside us, where are we going to be? Okay, so that is a concern I have. And then I'm asking myself, are we sharing individual worlds in the same space? Or are we vitally connected to one another? I think if you're working in the GAs and the RAs and you're in the classroom out there taking care of those kids on the front lines, I think you need to know that the folks who meet in the auditorium are on their knees praying for the success of your teaching. Amen. Wouldn't that be right? Yeah. And I also think that y'all in the classrooms need to bring the kids in here every once in a while, not just to sing the songs, but maybe to sit with some of the senior adults and teach our kids how to pray by the prayer warriors of the church. Wouldn't that be a good thing? And so what I'm after is, you know, do we just come and eat and do what we want because it's our thing? Or are we really vitally connected to say, you know what, this is the body of Christ. And this is our big outreach effort. And I'm praying for the fire to fall in the classroom down the hall. And I'm praying that the kids come and they hear the Christian testimony. Maybe you invite some of our senior saints or the guy like me maintaining a couple things to come in and talk about, well, what'd you do as a chaplain? What'd you do when you were growing up? What was the world like in Marionville, Missouri when you were in third grade? Wow. Maybe there'd be good things to talk about, huh? So, do I have an answer? Have we made all kinds of decisions? The answer is no. But you know what? I learned a lot. I learned that I was afraid of some things that aren't there. You didn't say, well, if you quit just for the summer, no one will come back. That's not true. That's not how people really feel. What we did say is, I need to catch my breath, and we need to tighten our strategy, and we are committed for the long haul because Jesus died for those children, and we care about them. All right? So I was gratified. I'm still nervous. John's leaving me. He knows how to make this stuff work. Weren't those pretty pictures? Wasn't that cool? I'm learning. That's all right. All right. I need you to take your Bible now. And we have done so much in such a short amount of time, but there's a message for us from God's Word that I didn't know it at the time. It's one of those miracles again. Not only, I thought it'd be cool that the survey and the sermon kind of connected, but we got the music too. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 and going down to verse 7. I'm going to go ahead and read it aloud today. The words are on the screen. This is the Christian Standard Bible. Peter writes, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And in the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. Yeah, I had no idea the music was going to fit so well, but I'm going to share with you the five brief points that I shared with the legislative prayer breakfast in 2018 in Jefferson City. I was asked to be the guest speaker where Concord Baptist Church and the Missouri Baptist Convention invite all the legislators and the governor's staff and the Supreme Court justices to come for a prayer service on the very first day of the legislative session. And it was my privilege to talk to them about leadership And I want to share that message. I'd already planned to share this message before last Wednesday night, but it just seems to fit what God is asking us to do and what we together are committed to doing. But the way we go about what God is asking us to do is going to make all the difference. So point number one is I want to talk about a subject that matters, and that's leadership. That'll be point one. We're going to talk about, secondly, then, a sacred trust that God has given us. Third, a solemn duty, then a simple truth, and finally, a strategic move. So a subject that matters is there in verse 1. And it isn't, we're not just talking about any old subject matter. This is a subject that matters. It is that of leadership in the house of the Lord. It is where the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus and was the original shepherd of the band of disciples, he was the one who spoke up. He was the one who had to admit that they were fighting on the way. Who's going to be the big dog in the team? He's the one who said, You're the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was Jesus looking at Peter said, yeah, you got it. That's the rock we're going to build on here. And he took Simon, the word that means pebble, and he said, you're now Peter. You're going to be the rock. And so Peter is saying, I'm exhorting you as another leader. In verse 1, he gives us his resume or his credentials. I'm an elder, not so much of age as just being old, but I'm the one who's been at it the longest. I've got experience, and I've had the role of leadership. You know, and that's not something that was just in that day and time. We go to our community meetings, and we say the city fathers have met. The elders of the community have met. In Native American culture, it was the tribal leaders have sat down around the campfire, and they're going to guide the group forward. Well, Peter is saying, hey, look, I've been in the trenches of ministry with you. I've done those things. I've had successes, and I've had failures. I remember the time that I went with Jesus up on the mountain, and there was Moses, and there was Elijah, and there was Jesus, and I was in on the high council of heaven. I've seen a few things. I've done a few things. Let me show you what it is like to be a leader. He's saying that leadership has to do with being quiet and listening. In fact, that's exactly what the Lord told Peter at the Transfiguration. He had a great idea. He says, well, let's launch three temples and let's commemorate this event and all that. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son. Be quiet. Listen to him. And that's really what it's about. And so the role of leaders right now in our world is doing the thing that matters. Taking time away to go before the Lord and to listen to him and to follow his guidance and his instruction. Not knocking anything that has happened or been done in the past, but at this moment in time, we need to hear from the Lord. I love the story about the guy who was the summer intern at his new accounting firm, and he got to meet the president of the corporation, and he said, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure, son, what is it? He said, how did you learn how to become a good leader? And the guy says, well, that's easy. It was making good decisions, good decisions. And the intern thought about it, and he said, wait a second. He says, how did you learn to make good decisions? And the president said, by making bad decisions, son, making bad decisions. Isn't that how it goes? Isn't that what leadership is like? We're going to learn, we're going to grow, but we got to be willing to hang it out there a little bit, take a little risk. Let's see what we can do. And you know what? If we don't make a perfect decision, we'll be smarter and we'll make a better decision after that. Point number two, and this is the meat of it, a sacred trust. It's that phrase, God's flock among you. Who are we to take care of? Who are we to lead? The part of the flock that God gave us. God has trusted you as a leader, whether it be on Sunday or Wednesday night, or just as you come and exercise your influence by your presence. God has trusted us with His most cherished treasure, His people. Psalm 100, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They know who I am. A good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. King David was a shepherd, and he put it all on the line to go after a lion and a bear because he loved the sheep. Y'all told me you love the flock of God among us. Now, some of us are got this role over here. Some of us are a little higher. Some of us work down here. Some of us do different things. But it's still God's flock. Everybody that He brought to us is a responsibility we have to do everything we can to present them before the Lord, washed in the blood of the Lamb and grown to full maturity in Christ. It's a sacred trust to be given responsibility to take a group of people to new places. And I feel that burden an awful lot. It involves mission and purpose. It involves vision, strategy, execution, and celebration. It involves governing. It involves risk. It is about using authority in a way that builds up credibility. It's about bringing everybody forward to the same place together. And although we have different responsibilities and different portions of the flock in different times and different locations, God has given us that trust. We speak with God's voice to tell them, you must be born again. We are ministers with a message of reconciliation to Marionville and all the world, to speak with the very words and demeanor and actions and love and care of the Lord Jesus Himself. He's not here. He put us here to take care of His flock. We're not greater than anybody else, but we speak as those who show the way and do the right thing for the good of all. Ladies and gentlemen, the sheep are not here to serve us. We are here to serve them. And we don't get to pick the flock all the time. You know, pastors are the worst. I'm talking to those of us, Brother Ken, on this side of the pulpit at the moment. A lot of pastors are trying to pastor a flock they don't have. It's the one they want. But it's not the flock God gave them. And one guy made the observation, we'd do a whole lot better in our churches if we'd quit trying to pick and choose the sheep. God gives us the sheep. Let's grow the sheep. Let's love the sheep. Let's bring them to a safe place under the great shepherd. Point number three, a solemn duty. And this is, it's a verb and a noun. It's the word shepherd. A shepherd is a thing. That's a guy, you know, the crooked stick, and he's out there. I love the book title about shepherds. They smell like sheep. That's a good shepherd. Because he's out with the sheep, right? But this is a verb where Peter says, you know, about that flock that God gave you, here's the verb, shepherd them. Be about doing what shepherds do to take care of the sheep. Peter learned this one the hard way. Because Peter failed miserably. What could have been his finest hour was his worst showing. Because he betrayed the Lord not one time, not two times, but three times. And in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, let's have a talk. Do you love me? And Peter goes, oh yeah. Well, you love me more than the boat. You love me all that. You're not a fisherman anymore, Peter. What did he say? Feed my sheep. Peter, you're a shepherd now. He asked him again, do you love me? Well, yeah. Shepherd my sheep. The third time, and Peter's broken. Do you love me? And he goes, Lord, yes. Three times, yes. 1,000 times, yes. Take care of the sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. And just as He leads us, good paths, green grass, still waters, even through the valley of the shadow of death, we're to be a shepherd of God's flock among us like that. This isn't easy. Sounds simple, but it's not easy. And even more, he says, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. You're going to shepherd God's flock, not like this, but like that. Not out of compulsion, because you got to, but willingly, because you get to. Not out of greed or selfish motive, but eagerly, out of a sincere motive, because we value serving God's people. Not lording it over those entrusted you, but being an example to the flock. You know, the greatest thing I said about my fellow chaplains when I had to evaluate them for the Army, the greatest compliment you ever got out of Gilmore when he signed his name on your officer evaluation, it said, "This chaplain leads by example." Number four, a simple truth. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So very, very quickly, this is a Bible verse that quotes another Bible verse. We've read it in Peter on Wednesday night, and here it is in James. We read it in James a couple weeks ago, and here it is in Peter. Sorry, we're farther down the road. But it's quoted from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. And the scholars think, that back in the day, they wrote it in Proverbs because it was a common understanding from the nation of Israel at that point in their national history. God resists the proud. It was said of Moses, he was the most humble of men, and he was the greatest leader we ever had. So God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. And that's how leadership works. God wants to teach us how to shepherd his people like he does. Proud leaders are not good learners. If we have pride in our position or our resume or our responsibilities or the way we've always done it before, that's the opposite of being attuned to the needs of the sheep God has given us right now. It's not that there's no commonality. It's not that the things don't go forward. It's that take a knee, reevaluate, time out. What is God asking us to do now? Leaders are learners. Learners are willing to learn and even to be taught. I loved what the one guy said. There's a whole lot of space between "it fell" and "I broke it." I'm good at saying, "Whoops, it fell." I love the Dennis the Menace cartoon. There's a broken lamp on the floor, and Mother's there like this, and Dennis looks up and says, "I just got here too." Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Humility. "By the grace given to me," Paul wrote in Romans, "I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one." I like Goldilocks as my definition of humility. Not too hot, not too cold, but what? All right, well, that's the definition of humility. Don't think of yourself as too high. Don't think of yourself as too low. It's not that you can't do anything. It's not that you're so great. But what does humility say? Just right. I can't do that. I won't do that. Just right. God has gifted me here. Let me serve in this way. That's humility. Now, humility is knowing your place. Submission is taking your place. We got soldiers that always get mad when the sergeant would call everybody to formation. Well, I want to stand at the front. The leader's over here on the end. Da, da, da. And it's like, you know what? What's that rank on your shirt? Am I any less a colonel because I stand in the back? No. The word for submission, hupotasso, just means take your place. If God's called you to serve out front, well, get out front. Lead. If God said, you're a helper right now, well, then be willing to stand where you help. And I love what Paul Powell used to say, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Because nothing happens otherwise. All right. Number five, you're trying to get there. What in the world is that? Well, James told us what our message is about to say. He says, okay, leadership matters. The sacred trust is the flock that God has given you. The solemn duty you've been given is to be a shepherd to them. The simple truth is that if you think you're up here, God's not going to bless it. If you think you're way down here, God may lift you up to the just right spot, okay? Now, what smart people do is a strategic move, and James says what it is in that verse. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he will lift you up. You know, the world today says, what? You're humble? What's wrong with you? You're to be a leader. You're the boss. We're to be the big dog in town. We're to do all this stuff. No, that's pride. Humility is where we place ourselves under the authority of the Lord and be obedient to him so that in his perfect time, he lifts us up. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to do anything other than the will of God. And we don't want to miss God's will for us in this time of transition, in this time of change, in this time of growth, in this time of looking again. Lord, the smartest thing we could do, the most strategic thing I could be used of, if it is my prayer, humble us, Lord, under your hand. Not too big, not too small. Help us find just right. So that you in your time can lift us up and move us forward. Because it's not my will be done, it's thy will be done. It's not my kingdom come or our kingdom come, it's thy kingdom come is what we're about. So the smartest thing we can ever do today during this time of prayer and invitation is just to humble ourselves before God and say, you know what? Wherever you lead, I'll go. Wherever you ask me to serve, I'll serve. Whatever change needs to happen, help me be a change agent rather than the one in the way. Lord, it's not about what we do or the way we do it. It's about who we do it for, under your love and your authority, for the sheep you've given us. Amen? Lord Jesus, we love you. And Lord, I know that I'm the guy who gets to talk with a microphone on, but I know these people love you. They've demonstrated just on the spur of the moment, it just showed so wonderfully the level of commitment, the desire to be used of you, the willingness to do whatever it takes to be faithful to the call of serving you and loving those folks that you've given us here.